I'd like to call the meeting of the BART Board of Directors to order. We have Director Keller on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning. Season's greetings.
Thank you. Same to you.
You have the roll call, please.
Director Sweet. Director Ward Allen.
Here.
Director Fang.
Here.
Director Franklin.
Here.
Director Keller.
Here.
Director McPartland.
Here.
Director Murray.
Here.
Director Radulovich. President Blalock.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then I'd like to, this is the point in the program where we introduce special guests, and I want to start with the most special guest in my life, and that's my wife over here.
The boss. The boss.
You know, she listens to me download every board meeting and every any chaotic event or any PR program.
Oh.
So I appreciate her presence today. Then I'd like to introduce Richard McCarthy, Director of California Seismic Safety Commission. Director McPartland, your request here.
Dick McCarthy is coming to discuss with us in the summary of the Great California Shakeout, and we'll have some remarks as well on BART's participation in that exercise. Dick, thank you for being here.
Mr. Chairman, directors, it's a great honor for me to be here with you today. Before I start, I want you to know that the Seismic Safety Commission has had a long and distinguished relationship with BART. We were there supporting you when that first bond initiative failed on your retrofit project, and we were there for the successes after when the voters approved that bond. And then we've given you some advice on the retrofit project right after the bond passed, and we want to commend you for doing that. It's certainly a model for the nation to follow. And I also want to commend you, and I'll mention this at the end of my talk, on the participation of BART in the Great California Shakeout and stopping the trains. We know that it was a gutsy move, and I had the honor of being with the BART staff when the discussions on that issue came up and the challenges that they faced with stopping the trains during that exercise. And I have to tell you that has not gone unnoticed in Sacramento or in other countries of which I visited since the shakeout. So let me start with you. This is a presentation I gave. I was the keynote speaker at a conference in Taiwan regarding this particular issue. I had the honor of representing the United States in that presentation. So I'm going to give you a 10-minute version of that 45-minute presentation. And so bear with me. It may seem like I'm going to wander a little bit, but I promise you I'll bring it all together at the end. The term I want you to pick up from now on out is, instead of it seems to be we're changing the term disaster resistant to disaster resilient. The president has an office now of resiliency, and that means different things to different people. To me, it means a rapid economic recovery, and I'm going to give you an example of how I think BART can assist us with that effort. Just quickly let you know, in the United States, where the general seismic risk is in the United States, I'm sorry I don't have a pointer on me, but one of the first things I want you to notice is on the western portion of Tennessee, in 1811, that was one of the greatest earthquakes in the history of the United States. That earthquake was felt along the eastern seaboard. It changed the course of the Mississippi River, and their liquefaction features all the states that experienced that shaking. And I'm going to mention how that's going to play in the next shakeout. Obviously, California on the left-hand side, that's a week's worth of earthquakes. You'll notice that the central part of California and the southeastern portion hasn't had any epicenters in a week. Unfortunately, there's a perception in our state that that area is risk-free. Historically, if you look at the earthquakes, it kind of follows that. There are some flyers in there where some earthquakes have occurred in those areas without weekly epicenters. The seismic risk, the annualized earthquake losses in the United States, California leads the nation. If you divide it up, California has 75%. It's $3.3 billion per year. In other words, every year a big earthquake doesn't occur, we put $3 billion into the kitty. 10 years, that's $30 billion. The annualized losses, 75% of the total annualized seismic related losses for the country are in California. Half of it basically is in Southern California, and 25% of the annualized loss is in the Los Angeles area. So we tried to take this information and translate it and transfer it into a form that our decision makers in Sacramento could follow to show that there's anywhere you are in the state, there's an earthquake risk. The area in red is the highest, obviously following the San Andreas system, of the highest earthquake risk in the state. But there's no place in California that's not without an earthquake risk or a risk for strong shaking. All right, let me talk specifically, as Director McPartland described, on the shakeout. In October of 2007, I had the honor of leading a team consisting of members of the governor's office to Japan. They had an earthquake earlier that year in western Japan, offshore of Niigata Prefecture, where they suffered quite a bit of damage. And that was the earthquake, if you recall, that damaged their nuclear power, the largest nuclear power facility in the world. They had some other economic issues which we're interested in looking at. And while we were there, we had the honor of taking a tour of the Japanese earthquake early warning system, and had an opportunity to take a look at some of their educational systems that they have there, which I think is the best in the world. Japan has an annual earthquake day, September 1st, every day the entire nation does a drill. So when we returned to California, the representative from the governor's office that time said, I'd like to do that here. Coincidentally, in October and November of 2008, basically a year later, the earthquake community had already planned two drills. October was the Bay Area, if you recall, in October 8, and in November of 2008 was the Southern California drill. So the plan was to use those two drills as prototypes and then base that information, lessons learned from those events, to a statewide drill. So therefore, on October 15th, as you know, this year, there was a statewide drill. The objective was the annual statewide drill for all residents, businesses, schools, organizations, basically everyone, and to get this drill in third Thursday of every October and to have it in perpetuity from here on out. Mm. And hopefully we can bring in a theme with each drill as we move forward. The goals were to have millions of people statewide, shift the culture in California about earthquakes, and have a significant earthquake readiness at all levels. These slides are now from the Southern California Earthquake Center and the California Alliance, the good work that they did. It's to their credit. What they did was they had people register online. They divide the state up into 11 areas. And you can see the breakdown here. It's almost 7 million people registered to participate in the drill. You can see the Bay Area was very, very proactive, over a million people registered. If we break it up by categories, we see we started in the schools, and there's a reason for that, and I'll get to that in a second. So the schools were our greatest success. Individual family participants were probably our greatest failure. We only had 16,000 register. Registration started up by the week, and so as they approached the drill, more people started to register. So we eventually reached about 8 million. How we did last year, if you compare the response, for example, in the Southern California area from 2008, some of the counties, they went up, participation went up, and some went down. L.A., Imperial, and Orange County went down, and we think that's because we spread our efforts statewide. We diluted a little bit, so we lost some participation in those areas. A population, it's no surprise that the central part of the state, the participation was lowest there because they still perceive that they don't have a seismic risk. Unfortunately for the schools, the same way, participation from schools was lower in the central part of the state because of perceived low seismic risk. All right, so on the 15th, we held the first ever in the United States. The entire state did the drill. We had drop, cover, and hold exercises, but it was much more than that. We also had participation. We did some damage, simulated damage and injuries and evacuations in hospitals, did some triaging exercises throughout the state. One of the challenges to remind you when we try and communicate issues with the state is that we speak 165 languages in this state. So therefore, we decided to go after the schools first because that's how we did recycling, if you recall. Recycling efforts started in California schools. Children brought home the information to parents and kind of shamed the parents into a recycling effort. So if you want to go on the shakeout, you can go to their website and you can get all this downloaded and this information. I've given this to BART staff so they can follow this. And BART's already registered as a participant, but it's good information to know, particularly as we approach the next shakeout. Now, quickly, what I want to talk to you about here, we did an evaluation of this, started an evaluation that's undergoing now. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, that will be available for your staff to take a look at. But what I really want to say to you this morning is the greatest power, as far as I'm concerned, is the alliance that was developed beyond this. One of my greatest pleas to these two organizations was, whatever you do, don't disband the Northern California and Southern California group, because they're corporate participants in this effort. And in my humble opinion, we'll never have earthquake preparedness in the state without corporate participation. So we have a network now that we can communicate with between the drills on other issues that are important other than just getting underneath the table. This is the corporate memberships now and other partners, local governments. So we're going to start building on this issue. And in next year, it will be the next shakeout is October 21st at 10:21. We'll have our next drill. And on the following year, I'm pleased to say that in 2011, the central states will now participate in the drill, along with many of their transit districts. And so I've recommended, they know well that BART's a leader in this area now with a retrofit program and their participation in the first statewide drill. All right, two issues here which I'd like to talk to you very quickly about that are very relevant to BART that's happening right now in our legislature. Fire following earthquake is a major, major issue which probably been underestimated. The San Francisco fire, but culturally we're used to a fire front. State burns every year, fire moves towards you, so we evacuate back outside. However, with earthquakes, it's quite different. We can have many, many hundreds of independent fire sources surrounding us, so how do we evacuate? Or do we evacuate? BART would certainly be a major portion in any evacuation plan should there be a disastrous fire scenario. Or do we shelter in place? And these are some of the things that we're going to be discussing, the legislature is going to be working on this session. Some of these fires that started in Southern California, you can see they're so vast, as well you know from the Oakland Hills fire, that you can see them from space. And so we're worried under certain wind conditions this could be a real catastrophe for us. The next issue, I think, is probably more so relevant to BART, I'd like to announce this to you, is that I made a presentation, this concept, to Senator Corbett's Earthquake Subcommittee. And I'm proposing a post-disaster economic recovery act, which basically would be a vetted out in the legislature about certain conditions that would be enacted the minute the ground stops shaking to speed recovery. So if we can get a group together that would be a predefined actions that should be taken almost immediately, as I said, after the ground stops shaking, industry, local governments, businesses, transportation systems, for example, participate in the drafting of this legislation. So in the act, you'd have the definition of what you want to do, and then you have maybe, let's say, 30 specific actions that would be taken that could be activated. So the governor could come on and just say, I'm going to activate 1, 5, 17, 22, 30 for the next 18 months immediately. Don't wait for a disaster declaration, because we're going to start hemorrhaging jobs overseas. I can tell you right now, if for just even the perception of damage, and I've seen this in other countries around the world where they've lost permanent market share. So I'm going to invite Senator Corbett, staff contacted me the other day and is interested. I want the exact quote is, I want dibs on this bill. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call a special gathering of some CEOs in the Bay Area, large companies, small companies, and I'd like to have BART at the table as well, because the question is, what would you like to have in legislation? There have been some discussions on this, on sharing resources with other utilities. Is there a way you can do that to help assist each other? Are there ways to remove any liability issues, any workers' comp issues, so you could help each other recover rapidly? Because if we don't have ways for people to get to work, or when they get there, there's no water, power, or sewage services, we're going to be in real trouble. Okay. And so finally, let me just conclude by saying I'm very, very proud. I want you to know the commission and the governor's office is very proud of BART's actions so far on this. I think you're really a leader in the retrofit of a system. It's a learning process. I know when I was in Taiwan, I was approached by almost five or six countries who are asking about how BART had done this, because many of them had gone to school in the Bay Area or had lived here, so they're very familiar with BART, and they were very impressed with the fact that BART had a retrofit and that you stopped the trains. So that's quite an action. So anyway, I congratulate you on that, and the Seismic Safety Commission is always here to assist you. So I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Are there some questions, John? You have a question?
Not really a question, but Dorothy, do you have anything to say? I've got a few overhead remarks for the implications of being able to reduce, if not eliminate, derailments. But would you like to say anything?
Just to express on behalf of BART our appreciation to the Seismic Commission and to you, Mr. McCarthy, in particular for your guidance, your availability, and your support of our efforts, as you referenced in your remarks. It is a great partnership, and look forward to continuing that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. The as I view it, the significance of the retrofit that we are experiencing now for the last year and for the next 3 years will end up increasing BART's survivability and potential contribution to the recovery, especially during that time frame when there is a lot of rubble and debris in the streets and we can't get anything into the infrastructure area, and for that matter, the impact area if it's over the entire portion of the region of the East Bay, which is where we expect the next big one anyway, it'll be significant, a significant contribution. But the early warning system, if we are able to actually detect and stop trains, it is going to have a dual role. Number one is we can't run trains no matter how good the system is and the fact that we've got power unless we've got trains that are on the track and they're not derailed. That would end up being a catastrophic event that would basically neutralize all the work that we're doing in for the short term, all the work that we're currently doing in the retrofit effort. Having said that, visualize the number of trains that we can prevent from with this early warning system, the number of trains that we can prevent derailing will be significant from an emergency response and life safety perspective, because while it's doubtful that very many people would be killed in the process, if you can visualize a bus with 100 people on it and you've got 10 of them and you run them all off of the road, people are going to be bouncing around, people are going to be injured, and that would end up being 1,000 people, and that would be one train. And we've got over 60 trains on the track at any given time. So this is a significant contribution and participation that BART is looking forward to being able to implement on a full-time basis. And I want to thank you for being able to partner with the state and the participation with that exercise, and I'm looking forward to the future progress that we end up making as far as the earthquake resilience. Thanks.
Thank you. Other comments?
Yes, just one.
Director Fang.
I'd also like to thank very much Dick, who has so selflessly given of his time on behalf of the state of California and the seismic Commission. Dick, I think you're urging us along. We hope we continue to follow your heed. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. And please, if you get a chance to tell the governor, although it's hard to blow your own horn, how much we appreciate your efforts on our behalf. Thank you.
Well, for myself, I've been chasing the Hayward Fault for about 35 years in my prior career at the city of Fremont, but this broad overview is great, and that's the very reason why Director Fang and Keller, who's not here, and the rest of us who were here at the time, Carol Ward Allen, sought outside experts to come in and validate what we had heard from our staff, and you folks were there for us along with the USGS, and we really appreciate that help. So thank you for being here today. Next, I'd like to call on the Bayside RC, the Radio Control Club from Fremont. I think we have Will Sievert and Dan, is it Nevis?
Dave. Dave Nevis.
Steve Nevis, okay.
Hi, my name is Dave Nevis. Mm-hmm. I've been with the Bayside Radio Control Club now for the last 19 years. We have a membership of between 300 and 400 members. For the past 20 years, BART's generosity has enabled us to use their property at the intersection of Warm Springs and Grimmer in Fremont. During that time, we've made a lot of friends, and we've been able to enjoy a hobby that we really love. So on behalf of the Bayside RC Club, I'd like to present this plaque to BART as a small token of our appreciation for the 20 years that we've been there. I think I speak for the entire membership when I say thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, let me just say that this, of course, is in my backyard. And so I watched these folks fly their planes and their – I didn't know there were cars down there, but I see the helicopters and the planes all around. And the only complaint I ever got was from an employee over at NUMMI. And they said, will you have those folks fly the planes east of the railroad tracks, because one got away the other day and it landed over here and our employees are worried. So never heard another complaint. I talked with the folks and they took care of it. And that was really great. We've enjoyed the relationship. They're going to get relocated, I hope, in a timely fashion, so that they will be using the refurbished top of the landfill as it closes in the Tri-City area, which is right nearby. So it's a hope. And it'll be close on time, but we wish you good luck with that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let me call on Vice President James Fang to introduce our next special guest.
I just want to acknowledge Leo Rubio from the Oakland Police Department. Thank you so much for your wonderful help on the escort program, helping us from West Oakland. I mean, Carol Ward Allen is key to that also. But thank you very much on behalf of the BART Board. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
You want to step in?
I just want to confirm that she was going to just give a brief presentation, and I wanted to just provide a couple more details.
Sure. Excuse me. Sorry.
So, excuse me. I'm not sure. I know that she has to leave at 10 o'clock. So.
Plenty of time.
So this is Lubia Rubio. She's with the Oak PD, Oakland Police Department. She's a police services technician. And we're fortunate in that OPD has a Citizens Academy, and they are using graduates of the academy. The graduates range from age 19 to senior citizen age, maybe 75-ish or so. But anyways, graduates of the Citizens Academy on Thursday and Friday, so that's tonight and tomorrow, will be providing escort services. And the efforts have been coordinated through our own lieutenant, Gary Kaganin. She's going to say a few brief things about the program. I want to refer back to a memo that you should have received yesterday regarding the program. But without further delay, Leah Rubio will give you some more details. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Commander. I was asked to come and just give you a briefing on what we were doing this evening, and you're all aware of it. It is a BART safety – we're calling it the BART Safety Escort Program, and it is – or it was the brainchild of the CPAAA, which is the Citizens Police Academy, which anyone in Oakland can attend free. And they came up with the idea, like, hey, it's holiday time. People are carrying lots of packages. Let's provide a safety net for them to go to their cars. And the West Oakland BART station, there are a lot of perimeter parking lots. So we're going to have a van that's going to be rotating and going around the perimeter parking lots until 9 p.m. tonight. And we're also going to have groups of citizens, police academy graduates wearing red vests, escorting people. They're going to be pedestrian escorts, excuse me. And there's going to be an increased presence of OPD out there, as well as BART PD. And I think that this is a great collaborative effort that we've made between BART PD and OPD to come together and really provide a safe zone for the people that are using the West Oakland BART station. Unfortunately, we can only do it two nights. We've already passed out flyers to riders out there. And the biggest complaint I've had is, like, you're only doing it two nights. So, you know, it's going to be a positive thing for the community. We've already gotten some positive media on KTVU, KCBS, and the Oakland Tribune. So I think it's a good thing for BART, it's a good thing for OPD, and it's absolutely a great thing for the community. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we're going to have this great thing tonight. And if you ride and use the West Oakland BART station, will be there to give you an escort to your car.
Thank you very much. Sounds like a delightful program. And thank you for the cooperation here. Next, I'd like to call on our chief of BART Police, Gary G., to come to the microphone and have a commendation, which I will read on behalf of the Bay Area Rapid Transit District. The Honorable Thomas M. Blaylock and Honorable James Fang present this commendation to Chief Gary G. for his leadership in promoting diversity in policing on the executive board membership in the Northern California Asian Police Officers Association, the advisory board membership in the National Center for Women and Policing, for his leadership in international and domestic transit security as a member of U.S. Department of State Office of Anti-Terrorism Assistance Team for the Kingdom of Thailand, member of Best Practices Study Team for Mass Transit Systems in Hong Kong, Beijing, Kobe, Tokyo, and Seoul, a lead instructor for U.S. Department of State Mass Transit Security Team in Kuala Lumpur. Sound like the whole Southeast Asia that you managed to have a lot of influence in your 36-year exemplary career. For his commitment to policing and public safety since 1967 as a life member of California Police Officers Association, member International Association Chiefs of Police, advisory board member U.S. Department of Justice, Best Practices in Policing, participant in American Public Transit Association Security Peer Reviews. The San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit District recognizes Gary G., Chief Gary G., and expresses its appreciation for more than 35 years of distinguished service and leadership. And James and I will come out to present this to you.
Thank you.
Hold on. Let's do want to say a few words first?
Anyone? Would you like to say something before the board says anything?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say that for the record that despite all the frequent flyer miles you just described that I received, I did spend the majority of my time on the job here at the district. I also want to take the opportunity to thank the Oakland Police Department. They've been our most biggest partners in fighting crime around the BART stations, and they've been a great working partner. I'm encouraged that the Citizen Academy accepts senior citizens, so it's something I can do after I retire. In respect to the this honor, President Blaylock, Vice President Fang, I accept it on behalf of the men and women of the BART Police Department. You know, as a longest-serving member of the department, I've known everyone who's ever been a BART police employee. I can say that the current complement of personnel from command staff to frontline officers and CSOs is as fine an assembly of police professionals as we've ever had. Most of our officers have bachelor's degrees or higher, and the department is more diverse than ever before. But even after meeting the psychological, physical, intellectual, and training requirements of the job, police officers make mistakes. We know that. We're human. What I want you to know is that when mistakes occur, they will be investigated fully. And corrective action, when warranted, will be taken and anything to prevent the possibility of a recurrence can be minimized. As you continue to evaluate the performance of our police, I respectfully suggest that you continue to do so not only from within the walls of this boardroom, but outside. Come to our facilities, visit and meet our police officers, get to know them, find out what they do on a day-to-day basis. Attend a briefing or a training session, go on a ride-along. I believe that would give you a better overall perspective of the challenges of police work, not just at BART, but what law enforcement faces in general, and also the rewards that officers feel that make them want to come to work each day and do their jobs and have a positive impact on the public we serve. In closing, I wish to acknowledge in particular Vice President Fang, Directors Franklin, Keller and McPartland for their years of unwavering support of the BART Police Department through both good times and bad. To the board, General Manager Duggar, Vice Deputy General Manager Devon, my fellow executive staff members, and in particular Assistant GM Overseer, thank you so much for allowing me
the privilege of being part of this team. The nearly 37 years has been a wonderful journey, and I'm humbled and privileged. And to all here, happy and safe holidays. Thank you.
And let me see if there are board comments. Any further, Director McPartland, do you have a, you're reaching?
I personally want to end up saying congratulations on your retirement and your 36 years of service. I'm happy for your opportunity to go ahead and retire. I look at it as a personal loss of being able to talk to you on a personal basis and a frequent basis. I'm sure we'll still maintain contact with one another, but congratulations and best of luck to you in your retirement.
Carol Ward Allen.
Congratulations on your retirement. I retired about a year and a half ago. Believe me, you're going to enjoy it. You'll get a chance to do things on your time. Thank you for all of your years of service. We greatly appreciate you.
It's been my honor.
Director Franklin.
Thank you. And Chief G, I just wanted to also congratulate you and thank you for all everything that you've done for this district. And it's been great to have you working for BART. So thank you for everything.
Director Bang.
Thank you. I'll probably close it out with respect to, unless somebody else wants to say something, obviously. Gary, this is very bittersweet. You've been one of the most loyal employees with nothing but BART first. And so I am almost at a loss for words. On a personal note, as an American of Asian ancestry, I think it is a tremendous loss for Americans of Asian ancestry, but all ancestries, that one of the deans of the senior staff is leaving now. It'll be hard shoes to fill. And so I just want to say good luck, Gary. I'm looking forward to seeing you. But I will say this. I don't think BART is done with you quite yet, so don't get too relaxed because there may be something else coming down the road. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just would like to congratulate you on your long service here and all of your efforts in the area of diversity, particularly in our police department. I'm glad to see that, and I would like to come out and present you the commendation.
And President Blaylock, if I might, I have a flag, a BART flag, that I like to give to Chief G. Here, if you don't already have one.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, got it. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, are there other special guests? Seeing none, we will now go on to the consent calendar, which is approval of minutes of November the 19th. Item B is amendments to the flexible benefits plan, unless there are questions. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Seconded by Director Franklin, please vote.
Excuse me.
We have the roll call.
We need to do a roll call.
Roll call vote.
Teleconference.
We'll see if he's awake.
Director Sweet.
He's there.
Director Sweet. This is a roll call vote on the consent calendar. Thank you. Director Ward Allen.
Yes.
Director Fang.
Yes.
Director Franklin.
Yes.
Director Keller.
Yes.
Director McPartland.
Yes.
Director Murray.
Yes.
President Blaylock.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously.
Then we have reports from standing committees, and it looks like all the committee chairs have no report. Is that correct, Director Keller?
That's correct.
Director Murray? And Director Sweet?
Yes.
That brings us to the general manager's report. Is there something new for the general manager report?
Not today. Thank you.
Okay, not today. All right, then we have under board matters, we have roll call for introductions. These are items that we'd like to have looked into. Are there items to be added to our list of? Okay, I don't see any. Now we have an item 5B, which is restructuring of board meetings. And Director Franklin has had a kernel of an idea almost all this year, and he's tried about six different alternatives. And I think, by Jove, I think he's got it. Director Franklin, you're on.
Thank you. So this would restructure the current way we do business, which is a board meeting, then the three committees, and then the board meeting. And it would make it instead just one board meeting. And after each item is presented, we would vote on it immediately. And that's what most city councils do. So instead of people having to wait till the end of the meeting to hear their fate, they would get to know right away. So, and it would potentially also impact director stipend, as we're allowed two absences. And you may have read the memo that I sent. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer anything about this proposal.
So the
Director Sweet has a question.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm thoroughly understanding this. So let's say the engineering committee meets. After the engineering committee meets, we'd go back to the full board and then vote on that item.
So it would be there would just be one board meeting. There wouldn't be any engineering. And the committee would still remain a standing committee, but it wouldn't necessarily meet. But so for right now, let's say that there's a PPAL that you're the chair of. If there's an item that would fall under your category, it would be you would lead the discussion of that within the board meeting.
Oh.
And then
love it.
Simple.
No, thank you, Bob. That makes sense.
So once the discussion's over, then the president would entertain a motion and continue discussion on the item.
So we vote as we go.
Thank
you.
You know, we keep changing our process and it keeps getting better.
And it only took Bob six tries.
Six tries. And
the Cal guy was doing it probably
he's been here five years.
One or two.
And the rest of us have been wrestling with it and kind of gave up after the last change. So what do we need to do, Bob? Do we need to direct the staff?
Well, unless there's some objections, we could just start trying it. And I think there would take some
can we do that, structure it that way in January without any formal action?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Pleasure of the board.
That's the will of the board. Joel, you okay with that?
To me. Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Okay. Then I need to find another page here. I get to make a few comments first. It looks like. Before we swear in a new or swear at a new president, I'd like to say a few things. I'd like to say that this has been a challenging year, and we've had a lot of activities here. We normally have 24 board meetings a year. Not sure we made 24, but I think we canceled one. But we had 32 closed sessions. We had special board meetings for labor negotiations and other topics, for a total of 20 special board meetings added to our normal 24. I appointed first of the part of the year the special new committee on police, BART Police Department Review Committee. That was actually established February 12th, and worked with our Citizens Oversight Committee, which Carol Ward Allen so ably chaired. And my hat is off to Carol and her efforts, along with the other committee members, Lynette Sweet, Joel Keller, and Tom Radulovich. When I took the position as board president, I had a specific budget-related goals in mind, and some people here will remember that. Those goals were to build up reserves. Imagine that, build up reserves. To bridge the gap between hills and valleys of the budget cycle. To adopt a budget that allowed a fair labor contract. To minimize layoffs. And despite the pervasive economic crisis, we've all worked very hard together with our staff and we were able to successfully meet the last two goals as we continued efforts to bridge our financial gap. We're continuing to strategize to build up our reserves. It's not easy in a down economy. It's an ongoing effort as we work to climb out of this current economic valley. BART and other state-funded entities are continuing to face today. 2009 was a challenging year for BART on many fronts. It was a year that we had to rebuild public trust and rework our police department. Before I go on, I'd like to, well, I've already said that to Carol Ward Allen about that committee work. That was strenuous, pervasive, and continuing beyond the call. I'd also like to thank our General Manager Dorothy Duggar and Deputy General Manager Marcia Devon for their strong leadership in the community at large and their valued input and active participation in that process to keep us focused on the issue. We had to negotiate labor agreements to offset BART's budget crisis. We had to make critical decisions on our service levels to make up for the loss of state funding. But this year, we were able to consolidate our efforts to meet those challenges and fortify our agency while continuing to play an integral role in improving public transport in the Bay Area. In 12 long months, we established the Police Review Committee, adopted a citizen oversight model for the BART Police Department, and worked to get enabling legislation introduced that will be heard during the upcoming legislative session. We implemented strategies to improve our police department. We positioned BART to proceed with the procurement of 700 new cars to replace our aging fleet. That's a $3.5 billion step up. We continued our earthquake safety program, which is on time and under budget. We saved $100 million by working with our labor unions to reach fair labor contracts. We broke ground on the long-awaited Warm Springs extension. We secured funding for the Oakland Airport Connector, and in fact, we approved the project at our last meeting. We expanded our environmentally friendly power resources by installing solar-powered installations at Union City, which was the pilot project on their intermodal station, and then at Richmond and Hayward Yards and the Orinda BART station. We took the first important steps to extend BART to Livermore. No cheering?
Yay!
All right. Once again, we demonstrated that BART keeps the Bay Area moving when we proved twice this year during the planned closure of the Bay Bridge over the Labor Day weekend and the unexpected closure in late October. And I dare say we're ready now at the drop of a hat to jump into the mall if it closes again. As stewards of the BART system, the BART Board ensures that we're able to deliver and meet the region's growing needs well into the future. My friend, Director Fang, our Vice President, is equipped with the institutional knowledge of our system, garnered by being the longest-serving member of our board.
You can say oldest. That's all right.
I didn't say oldest. I'm probably the oldest.
Oldest serving.
His insight will be invaluable, assuming that you get the vote.
I'm counting on you, Tom.
Insight will be invaluable to develop strategies to address our future capital needs and our operational needs. So, now I will open the nominations for board president. Oh, well, yeah, be my guest. Director Sweet.
President Blaylock. You used the word challenge several times in your speech, and I just want you to know that that word's an understatement for what you had to go through this year. Your very first meeting this year was probably the most tumultuous meeting I have seen here as a BART director, and you withstood it. You withstood everything this year, and for that, I just want to say thank you. You did something that took a lot of courage, and that was creating a new committee here at BART to do police oversight. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I appreciate everything that you've done for BART this year. And I also want to thank your wife, Gail, who knew that once this year started, she wasn't going to see as much of you, but she allowed us to have you here. And, Tom, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Director Murray.
Well, Lynette said what I wanted to say very eloquently, but I just wanted to add that I was glad that you went through the list of things that we accomplished this year, because it's easy to think of all the difficulties and challenges we've had this year, but that list is pretty impressive. And I know that you were at each and every one of those groundbreakings and meetings. So thank you for representing us on all these good things that happened as well.
Thank you so much. Kara Ward Allen.
Yes. Again, like the others, I want to thank you very much for your hard work, and I appreciate, at the same time, you selected me to be head of the oversight. I want to be angry with you for making me head of that. But thank you for all of your hard work. You've done a yeoman's job, and like Gail, I'd love a copy of your speech so that I can be reminded of all the things that we did, because the list that you gave us was very impressive. And sometimes we're muddling through this, and you did a great job. And at the same time, we have to give staff kudos, because when I added up all of those meetings that we had,
it's a bunch.
It's close to 80, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not including, you know, committee meetings and all the other events that we have to attend. So thank you very much, and you're very gracious, and we, all of us on the committee, appreciate the Starbucks cards you gave us as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bob Franklin.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you also. I thought your leadership was great, and you were unflappable, and we had tough labor negotiations and a lot of tough meetings, and you just kept your cool and showed your experience and led us through this very well. So I just wanted to
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. All right. Now let me open nominations for board president.
I'd like to nominate James Fang.
Actually, that was my job.
We got a.
I'm sorry.
All right, we have a motion. Would you like to move the closure of the nomination?
Actually, no, I don't want to close it. I want to tell you why I think it's important that we do nominate James Fang as our president. You know, we talk about the experience level of board members and what we're going through right now. And the one thing that James Fang does bring to the table is the experience here at BART. And for that reason, I think it's probably more important that we have James leading us next year than any other board member, because he does have that experience. And even though we hope that the economic structure of this country is going to get better, it may not. And we need somebody who can steward us through it. So for that reason, I'd like to nominate James Fang and close the nominations.
We have a name on the table and a motion to close the nomination. Is there a second to closing the nomination? It is a motion to close. It moved and seconded to close the nominations of that. Close it out. Would you do the roll call, please?
Director Sweet. Yes. Director Ward Allen.
Yes.
Director Fang.
Yes.
Director Franklin.
Yes.
Director Keller.
Yes.
Director McPartland.
Yes.
Director Murray.
Yes.
President Blaylock.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. Now you get the gavel. And there's the list.
I'm a dangerous man with a hammer in my hands. Well, thank you very much. I'd like to thank the entire board for this tremendous honor and the very kind remarks by Director Sweet. The old adage goes, modesty prevents me from accepting it, but honesty prevents me from denying it. So thank you very much, Lynette, for your kind remarks. I do again want to thank all the board members. This has been an incredibly challenging and a trying year this past year. But I first really want to express my heartfelt appreciation
at the leadership and the quiet but very deft leadership of my good friend Tom Blalock, former President Blalock. He has taken – he has took everything that has been thrown at us this year with the kind of stoic poise and leadership that we demand and expect from our president. When we talk about the state pulling all its funding out, when we talk about the Citizens Oversight Committee and obviously the contention surrounding the police department, that is almost beyond anybody's it's amazing to me that anybody could lead any organization through such a difficult time. And yet, briefly, he presided over EBART, the opening of EBART, Warm Springs Extension, which will pave the way for us to go to Santa Clara, the OAC, Oakland Airport Connector, and the wonderful agreement that we've reached with our unions, which allows us to kind of go forward and try to get some sort of financial stability in a very gloomy time. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, Tom, for all your leadership. I'm reminded of an old Chinese philosopher, one of the three main ones. There's Confucius, Mengzi, and Laozi. Laozi once said, a leader is best when people barely know he exists. When his work is done, his aim fulfilled, they will say, we did it ourselves. In many ways, that is Tom Blalock's leadership, guiding everybody, but letting everybody shine in the spotlight. So for that, Tom, thank you so much for all your wonderful leadership. Next year will be my third tenure as the BART Board president, and I assume this presidency with expectation and an eagerness to help contribute to the greatness that is BART. But I'm also reminded of the classic Chinese fable of Yi Gong. Yi Gong was a peasant who wanted to go to the village every day. But to get to that village, he had to go through a mountain, walk all the way around the mountain. So one day he said, you know what? I'm tired of walking around this mountain. I'm going to take this mountain down. And when he said, people looked at him and they said, how are you going to do that? I'm just going to start digging at that mountain. Everybody thought he was a fool. But every day he went there and just started digging at that mountain. Then his family started to join him. Then their neighbors started to join him. Then the village started to join him. Then everybody started to join him. And darn it, if he didn't carve a trail through that mountain to have egress. I think BART is we can learn from that fable. A lot of things don't happen quickly at BART, but with persistence, such as Warm Springs, EBART, the Oakland Airport Connector, these are things that show the perseverance of BART. We've embarked on some new projects, but I have confidence that the fundamental fable of having us, the Yi Gong determination of getting things done, will prevail, and that is the message we will send to our riders and the people of the Bay Area. But we do face a lot of challenges. Obviously, I think the most thing I am most proud of is that BART continues to be the premier transit agency in the Bay Area, if not the United States. Paul, I know you're here somewhere, I think. Paul takes one day off, and of course, there's a derailment, so thank you, yeah. Paul. But 96, yeah. Hi, Paul, how are you?
Oh, there he is.
He's done a spectacular job in keeping the trains running on time at 96%. That is fantastic, and that is the core business of BART, running the trains. Dorothy has had her hands full with running the trains on time and has done a splendid job on helping us manage the the Police Oversight Committee. Unfortunately, that has taken a lot of strain, a lot of hours, particularly on Dorothy's part, as well as everybody else, to deal with these two basic issues. So I wanted to say, you know, thank you for taking time to do all those wonderful things for those two central issues. But I think also that what we can do, we've asked everybody in our labor force, everybody around us, to do a little sacrifice. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to have the board call on the board to have a little bit more sacrifice themselves. And one of the things I'd like to propose as we go forward is there are many different issues that different directors would like to have addressed. And it's been kind of a very difficult process to try to get these issues to the board, and we don't know how that works. So one of the things I'd like to establish are different committees, three-people committees, to start looking at particular issues. In particular, for example, with John McPartland, I'd like to maybe start a West Dublin committee so we can start looking at issues, not just reports, but start helping the staff because they are so overworked with formulating solutions to these problems. Safety and seismic, that's something instead of just receiving reports, I like board members to be part of that to assist the staff in helping craft solutions. Similarly, with EBART, OCA, all these other wonderful Warm Springs, I think that is really critical for BART to get involved as board directors to spend and sacrifice that extra time so we can start getting things done. For me personally, one of the things I'd like to see happen, or a couple of issues I'd like to see happen, is, for example, we've been working on this mobile payment cell phone. That thing is really starting to take off. I just received an invitation from the Federal Reserve Bank to ask BART to speak at a conference in Atlanta to talk about mobile payments. This is the wave of the future. It is compatible with TransLink, not one over the other. But this seems like something that could really be a growth area for BART. So I'd like to start a committee just to deal with that. I'd also like the committee, and as I've talked with Gail before, we are always perceived as a transit agency. And that is really wonderful. We're good at that. You know, BART represents 3.2 million people. Not just the transit agency, 3.2 million people. What I'd really like to see, and perhaps we will start a committee on this, is to see how BART could reposition itself, not as just a transit agency, but a 3.2 million entity. So when we go to the federal government, the state government, local, we're not just another transit agency. We're actually a 3.2 million agency, person agency. I think if that is done well, that can have tremendous impact for our district. I think Bob has done a spectacular job on the Sustainable Energy Committee. We are looking at solar farms. We're looking at all sorts of different things. And I would just encourage Bob to continue in his role as chairman of the Sustainable Energy Committee to keep that going. Finally, in the last two things, I think one of the things that has been difficult, for some BART members is, you know, how do we get our arms around the diversity of this district? I look at that as twofold. One, obviously, as we've heard with much of Palm, is the small business and the bonding, the minority and small businesses and women-owned businesses and how they get access to BART. Particularly the big issues also seems to be bonding. I think we need a committee to deal with that. I know Carol has expressed interest, and so has Bob, and so has Tom. And I think that is something that these committees will come up with, not just listening to reports, which has been wonderful in the past, but start to come up with solutions to give to the staff, to bring to the board, so that we can go forward and start making some actual significant changes to these things. I think the other thing that some people will say, I myself also express, is that whether there is enough diversity in the senior staff at BART. Now, obviously, we want to hire people that do best for BART. But in the past 2 years, there have been 13 hires. Of the 13 hires, four have been minorities, two black, two Asians. And while I think that is wonderful for BART in terms of there is some presence there, I don't see any Hispanic presence. And I don't know that the representation of the senior staff is actually representative of the district we live in. That's not to say we're going to tell Dorothy who to hire. Clearly, no. But it also means that we need to at least put a committee together to examine that BART is scouring the best people possible of all backgrounds representative of this district so that we can go forward and truly be representative of this district. Finally, I'd like to thank Joel in particular for inspiring me to this wonderful idea, at least I think it's wonderful, of trying to get the board members more involved. I think as an old dog trying to learn new tricks, thank you, Joel, for kind of steering me in the right direction. In closing, I want to say very much thank you so much, Tom Blaylock, for the foundation you have laid for me and this district in a very tumultuous year. I look forward for great things, and I look forward in particular to the increased involvement of this board on issues that will come before the full board so that Dorothy, Paul, Tom, everybody here has more direction so they're not just doing different things, that we can start to focus the direction in which we want to go. So thank you very much, and I accept this vote and your presidency. Thank you. Oh, now am I in charge? To Sue Angeli, I just want to say thank you very much for everything. I do believe we have cake, and we'll miss you, and you need to sign my placemat. You did it last time. To Bob Franklin, I want to say, I know Ivan isn't here, but you should have told him we have cake.
I did tell him, and he wanted to go to this board meeting because there's cake, not a normal, boring board meeting. But
yes. So
couldn't, Scott would watch him during the meeting.
Having said that, I'd like to open nominations for vice president of the BART board.
I would like to nominate Bob Franklin for vice president of the board.
I would second it. Oh, okay. Going to second it. I'll move the nominations be closed.
Can I protest vote because he went to Stanford?
You can. Okay, you can protest you. Vote, yes.
Thank you, sir.
And we're going to have a roll call.
Roll call. Excuse me. And we're going to get used to this. You watch. I've been waiting like 8 years for this. You're going to get used to it. Roll call. We are going to get used to it. Roll call votes.
Director Sweet. Yep. Director Ward Allen.
Yes.
Director Fang. President Fang.
Thank you. Yes.
Director Franklin. Yes. Director Keller.
Yes.
McPartland.
Yes.
Director Murray.
Yes.
Director Blaylock.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Bob, would you like to say a few?
Yes, good idea. Oh, I should have jumped. Don't worry about it. You get to say what he wants.
Bob, sorry.
Well, thank you, President Fang, and thank you very much, directors, for this great honor for me. And I just have a few things to say. You know, it's been a tough year for BART, but we've been a safe transit system that is 95% on time, and we must return the focus to what we do best. One thing that I would like to lead with President Murray is a contest for BART station agents and train operators, where they will come up with, there'll be four categories for this contest, where they'd come up with the best way to improve their job and to improve service for their customer. So I think it would be a good way to showcase what BART employees are doing to improve the BART experience, both for the passenger and for the employees. I would also like to focus on the BART AC Transit fare structure. Right now you get a 25 cent discount, which has been in place since 1985. So the proportionate discounts dropped from 42% of AC Transit's fare to 12%. So there's not a financial encouragement to taking both systems together. And lastly, I'd like to continue on with the BART Sustainability Committee as we further diversify our energy supply, and as well as engage in some energy reduction strategies like regenerative braking. So it'll be a great pleasure to work under our oldest serving.
Oldest serving.
Well, that's true.
Oldest serving.
That's okay. And thank you for your support for this vice presidency.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just briefly before we begin, I also wanted to make a quick note to thank our labor unions for doing their part this year, particularly the labor union, the labor union leadership at BART has been absolutely stellar, and I wanted to say thank you. It was a tough bargaining session, but we really respect you, and thank you very much. Now I have a great pleasure of presenting this ceremonial plaque to my good friend, Tom Blaylock. Tom, with all the stuff that you went through this year, this really doesn't even begin to kind of alleviate all the grief, but with a heartfelt thanks from our district. Thank you so much, friend.
Thank you. I'm looking for the check on the back.
No check on the back. No check. No check on the back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom. Again, thank you so much for all your leadership, and I look forward to leaning on you quite a bit in the next coming this coming year. General discussion. Jerry, thank you. Seeing none. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for this wonderful year of supporting BART. We very much appreciate everybody. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. This meeting is adjourned. I don't know. I have a problem.
Thank you, Joel. We're adjourned.
Okay, thanks. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Joel.
Holiday.
Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody enjoy your holidays. See you next
year. All right, you too, Joel.
Okay, bye.